A Werewolf Shifter romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. The forest floor clawed at his boots, a desperate suck of mud and rotting leaves with every step. Rain, thin and cold, slicked his hair to his brow, but it couldn't cool the fire in his lungs. He ran. Not from something, but to someone. He was 20, and the world was a cage of his father's making. The Alpha's words echoed in his mind, cold and final. An alliance. The rogue's daughter. Mated by the next full moon. The thought was a violation, a snarl in his throat. His wolf paced, ready to tear its way out. They would be looking for him. His father's warriors. Loyal to the title, not the man. But they were looking in the wrong direction. They thought he was fleeing his duty. No. He was claiming his destiny. Then, a scent. Faint at first, it cut through the damp air like a blade. Starlight and wild honey. Her. The scent that haunted his dreams for months. His fated mate. His one secret. His only hope. He followed it, a primal certainty overriding the burn in his muscles. The trees thinned, opening into a moon-drenched clearing. And there she was. Her wolf, a vision of silver-gray fur, danced in the pale light. A youthful grace that stole the very breath from his chest. He didn't make a sound, but she knew. Her head snapped up, intelligent eyes locking with his. She shifted, a fluid ripple of movement, and suddenly, Isla. She stood before him, all of 17, with wide, startled eyes and the scent of ozone and starlight clinging to her skin. The bond, that humming thread he'd only ever felt from a distance, slammed into him, a physical blow. He saw it in her face, the shock, the recognition, the terrifying pull. No time for courtship, no time for words. He could already hear them, the distant howl of his father's pack. He crossed the clearing in three long strides. Ronan? She whispered, her voice a thread of confusion that twisted his heart. He couldn't answer. He could only act. He tangled a hand in her rain-damp hair, pulling her close, her gasp stolen by his lips. His own voice was a ragged, desperate thing. Mine. I'm sorry, he breathed, the words torn from him. There's no time. I'll come back for you, I swear it. And before she could answer, before he could lose his nerve, he tilted her head and sank his teeth into the delicate skin of her neck. A single universe-altering second. There was only the bond. A tidal wave of light, of pain, of belonging flooded them both. A searing connection that burned away everything else. It was the first true thing he had ever felt. He pulled back, the coppery tang of her blood on his tongue, the fresh mark on her throat, a defiant crimson star. He heard the howls again, closer now, so much closer. They were hunting him. He had to go, now. He had to lead them away from here, away from her. He took one last look at her shocked, beautiful face. A memory to last a lifetime. A final, guttural promise that was more a prayer than a word. And he was gone. Melted back into the suffocating darkness, leaving her alone in the moonlight. Marked and abandoned. Chapter 1. The scent of old paper and beeswax filled the air. Order. Control. She smoothed a hand over the polished oak table, her voice a calm, steady river. Garrick. Your grievance is noted. Still, the trade agreement is clear. 3 barrels of salted fish for every 2 of grain. Not a scale less. The burly warrior huffed, his shoulders slumping. Yes, Luna. She gave a slight, regal nod. Another fire put out. Another day. Perfectly managed. That's why her life worked. She left no room for chaos, none at all. She built these walls of duty and title to keep the past buried. Moments later, the chamber emptied. The satisfying quiet was broken by her husband's approach. Alpha Marcus. His scent was familiar, clean earth, but it offered no warmth. He was a good alpha, strong, fair. He was also a stranger she shared a bed with. "You handled him well," Marcus said, his voice a low rumble. "Garrick respects strength." "He respects the law," she corrected softly, her eyes on the intricate patterns of the wood grain. "As we all should. Isla." He reached out. His fingers brushed her arm. Without thinking, her body moved on instinct. She shifted away, the touch skittering over her skin like an unwanted insect. That familiar, icy chill. It bloomed deep in her bones, the sickness. Marcus's hand dropped, his jaw tightened into a hard line. "Of course, the law." The space between them crackled with unspoken words. Their marriage was just another trade agreement, wasn't it? Her resilience for his protection, a title for a future, a logical, safe arrangement. Yet, she couldn't ignore the feeling that she had traded away her very soul for this gilded cage. That night, sleep wouldn't come. The silk sheets were ice against her skin. The chill was worse now, a gnawing ache, a lonely ache. She didn't know what scared her more, the sickness itself or the terrifying feeling that it wasn't a sickness at all, but an absence. A silence waiting for a sound she couldn't remember. A lock waiting for a lost key. Come morning, she would rise. She would be the perfect Luna. She had to be. But the coming day felt heavy, a shadow on the horizon she couldn't see. But she could feel it. She felt it with every shiver that racked her body.
Chapter 2. He watched her move. Such grace. A queen surveying her domain. Every line of her was poise. Perfect control. The perfect Luna. And as distant as the moon itself. His beta, Liam, cleared his throat from the doorway. "She's magnificent, Alpha. No one can deny her leadership." Marcus sighed, turning from the window. "Leadership isn't the problem, Liam. It's everything else." Liam stepped inside, his expression serious. He was young, loyal, reckless. "That's what I came to talk to you about. I was speaking with my cousin from Shadowwood. He told me a story. The Crestfall Pack, up north. Strong, prosperous. But their Alpha and Luna? A political match. No real bond. When the rogues came, they couldn't draw on each other's strength. Couldn't anticipate the attacks. They fell, in a single night." The air in the study grew. "Heavy." "What are you saying?" Marcus asked, his voice low. "I'm saying respect isn't a true mate bond. We are strong, but we have a weakness, Alpha, because our pack's heart isn't unified. We need a real alliance, a treaty to secure our borders." More importantly, Marcus knew he was right. He had chosen Isla precisely because she was self-contained. He thought her emotional distance was strength, a safeguard. Instead, it had become a chasm, a vulnerability. "The Blood Moon Pack," Liam's voice dropped. "They're a different beast now, unpredictable." "Their new Alpha is a ghost," Marcus muttered. "A ghost no one's seen in a decade. Just stories." "They're more than stories," Liam insisted. "They say he dismantled his father's entire regime from the shadows. That he's utterly ruthless. Not only that, but his pack follows him with a loyalty that borders on fanaticism. They say he's looking to expand." Marcus felt a headache building behind his eyes. A political marriage that lacked a soul. A ruthless unknown Alpha on his border. What was the right move? A show of strength? A plea for alliance? Deep down, he knew the truth. His pack was vulnerable, and the whispers on the wind were starting to sound like a gathering storm.
Chapter 3, A Pack Scout. Breathless. Mud splattered. He burst into the hall just after midday, his urgent words slicing through the quiet. Marcus was at his side, instantly, listening. A beat later, his gaze found hers, and her world tilted. He called a meeting, immediately. The air in the chamber was different this time. Not petty anger, this was fear, a low electric hum of it. With every heartbeat, her own sense of dread grew. Marcus stood before them, his face a grim mask. "I have received a formal dispatch. The Blood Moon Pack has requested a summit, to be held here, at Silver Creek, within the week." A wave of murmurs rippled through the elders. "Their Alpha," Marcus continued, his voice dropping heavy, "will be attending in person." As the silence stretched, that soul-deep chill returned, a violent, icy clench. Her breath caught. Blood Moon. The name was a key turning in a rusted lock deep inside her. Why? Why did it feel like a name from a nightmare? She was a Luna of logic, of order, of control. She managed threats with strategy, not superstition. Still, this felt different, primal. An elder spoke, his voice trembling. "The new Alpha, the stories. Are they true? Is he the monster they say he is?" Marcus's eyes flickered to her again. "He is an unknown. A ghost returned to claim his throne. And now, he is coming here." As if pulled by a string, her hand drifted to her neck, to that spot just below her ear, the place that always tingled with a phantom ache. She didn't know what scared her more, a ruthless Alpha at their gates, or the terrifying, irrational feeling that he wasn't a stranger at all. That night she stood at her balcony watching the storm clouds gather, dark, bruised. A flash of lightning lit the horizon, and for a split second, she thought she heard it. A howl. It wasn't just a storm. It was a reckoning. And it was coming. For her, Chapter 4. The storm she dreaded. It broke. Not with rain, but with the thunder of approaching pause. From her place beside Marcus, Isla watched them emerge from the tree line. The Blood Moon Pack. They moved like a single, wild entity. Their energy a stark contrast to her own ordered warriors. Their pelts were darker, their strides longer. Their eyes held a feral gleam that spoke of war, not peace. He appeared. He walked at their head, a presence so immense it seemed to suck the very air from the courtyard. He was taller than she remembered, broader. Scars she didn't recognize carved pale lines on his skin, one disappearing beneath the collar of his black tunic. He moved with a predator's coiled grace, his gaze sweeping over her pack with cold assessment. In that moment, her heart skipped. But then his eyes, golden and fierce, found hers. The moment their eyes locked, everything shattered. Gone. The polite greetings, the nervous guards, the wind, all of it, faded into a deafening roar. The dull ache of her sickness erupted into a firestorm, a physical blow, a force that buckled her knees and stole her breath. Her world tilted, spinning into a vortex of pine, ozone, and something else. Something wild. Impossible. Him.
Her bones. They remembered him. The name was a silent scream. It couldn't be. Could it? The boy she knew was gone. A ghost. A memory she had walled away. Yet this man, this dangerous, battle-hardened Alpha, was looking at her not as a rival Luna, but as if he were staring into the eyes of his own soul. She felt it, clear as day. A connection she thought long dead, now alive and writhing between them. A living thing. Without warning, her body split in two. The dutiful Luna fought for control, but beneath the surface her wolf stirred. A primal, joyous howl echoing in her spirit, a greeting to its long-lost half. A greeting she tried desperately to silence. She didn't know what scared her more. The ghost at her gate or the part of her that was terrifyingly glad to see him. Chapter 5. 10 years. A frozen hell. Fighting. Bleeding. Clawing his way back from nothing. All for one reason. One image. Her. And now. Seeing her felt like swallowing glass. She stood beside another Alpha. Her husband. The word was acid in his throat. She wore the muted silver and gray of the Silver Creek Pack, another Alpha's colors. A betrayal so sharp his wolf snarled, tearing at the inside of his skin. He had imagined this moment a thousand times, but the reality was a torment beyond words. Her scent, starlight and wild honey, was the same, but it was tainted now, mingled with the earthy pine of the man at her side. Deep down, he knew. He couldn't blame her. He was the one who left her with nothing but a mark and a decade of silence. Still, that didn't stop the possessive rage, the boiling in his blood. At the welcome dinner that night, the air was charged, false smiles, unspoken threats. He sat at the high table, his eyes locked on Isla. Every polite nod she gave Marcus, every time that Alpha's hand brushed her back, it was a physical blow. He forced himself to eat. The food was tasteless. Showing weakness was not an option. Then, it happened. A young, arrogant wolf from the Silver Creek pack leaned toward Isla, his voice slick. He was too close. His gaze lingered too long. As if the world narrowed, Ronan's focus sharpened to a razor's edge. The clatter of cutlery, the murmur of conversation, it all disappeared. There was only the threat. Before he could form a conscious thought, his body moved on instinct. A sound rumbled up from his chest, low, guttural, full of primal warning. Grrrl. It wasn't loud. It didn't have to be. It cut through the hall, a shockwave of pure possession. Every conversation stopped. Every head turned. The young wolf froze, his face draining of all color. Marcus's hand on Isla's chair tightened, his knuckles white. Ronan hadn't moved a muscle, but the challenge had been made. The air changed, the silence roaring with what he had just declared in front of two entire packs. She was his.
Chapter 6. Her chest ached, a vice of panic. She had to flee. She ran from the suffocating hall, escaping to a secluded stone balcony overlooking the moonlit gardens. The cold air was a relief against her feverish skin, but it couldn't calm the frantic pounding of her heart. His growl echoed in her ears, a possessive, primal claim she had no right to feel. Isla. Her breath caught. He was here. She didn't need to turn. His presence was a physical weight behind her. With his scent in the air, night and earth and storm, her traitorous wolf stirred again, pressing forward against the cage of her ribs. You have no right, she whispered, her voice trembling. No right, he countered. His steps were slow, deliberate, closing the distance between them. I marked you, Isla, before the eyes of the moon goddess. I claimed you. Finally, she spun around, the anger she had nursed for 10 long years boiling over. You claimed me and you left me. You left me a pariah in my own pack, an object of pity. Do you have any idea what that was like? The space between them burned. He stopped just out of reach, his golden eyes filled with a pain that mirrored her own. What followed was a voice not of the boy from her memory, but of a man, raw and heavy with a truth she was not prepared for. I didn't abandon you, he said, the words low, intense. I saved you. She just stared, speechless. My father, he had made a pact with monsters, Isla. He was going to force me into a mating with a rogue's daughter to seal it. An animal. It would have started a war, and they would have used you to control me. They would have hurt you, tortured you, killed you, without a second thought. Her thoughts spun. This couldn't be true. Her entire life. The story she told herself. It was all built on his betrayal. And now? Now he was telling her it was all a lie. Leaving you. It was the only way, he continued, his voice cracking for the first time. The hardest thing I have ever done. I left because I had to lead them away from you. Every single day of the last 10 years has been about getting back to you. Only you. He held her gaze for another second, letting the weight of his words settle into the shattered pieces of her reality. Again, without another word. He was gone, leaving her alone. Alone with a whisper that had just demolished her world. Chapter 7. Come morning. His words were still there, tangled in her thoughts. I saved you. The lie she had lived with for 10 years felt so thin now, a worn-out blanket, full of holes. She rose from her bed, but a wave of dizziness sent her reeling, her hand flying to the wall. The chill from the night before had bloomed into a fever, the bond sickness. It was no longer a phantom ache. It was a physical torment. Because of that, every step through the great hall was a battle. She tried to focus on her duties, reports, inventories, but her senses were betraying her. With his scent in the air, a constant thrum of pine and storm, her head spun. She heard his voice, a low murmur from a distant room, and a jolt, hot and sharp, shot through her. Her world had shrunk into him, just him. Was this what a bond felt like? Not a gentle pull, but a violent, consuming fever? Marcus found her near the hearth, his brow furrowed with concern. Isla, you're pale. Are you feeling unwell? Before the words left her lips, she forced a smile. A brittle thing. Just a bit tired, Marcus. The summit preparations. He nodded, but his eyes held a flicker of doubt. Truth be told, he wasn't a fool. He saw the distance between them, a chasm she had dug with years of careful control. Now, that chasm felt a mile wide. What would he do if he knew the truth? Not just about Ronan, but about the very real sickness that was making her tremble? A sickness with only one cure. As if summoned, Ronan entered the great hall. He wasn't looking at her, yet she felt his presence like a physical touch. As the bond pulsed, a wave of heat washed over her. So intense. Her breath caught. She had to get away. Now. "Excuse me," she murmured, turning from Marcus before he could see the flush on her cheeks. "I need to consult the archives." What scared her more? The man who was her past? The man who was her present? Or the sickness? The sickness that was threatening to burn her future to the ground. She fled to the library, the one place she thought she could find silence, because the roaring in her own soul was becoming too loud to bear.
Chapter 8. He felt her suffering as if it were his own. A maddening, helpless feeling. The bond sickness raged in his veins, too. But for him, it wasn't a chill. It was fire, a constant burning need to be near her, to protect her, to claim her. His wolf was a relentless beast, pacing, snarling at him to go to his mate, to end this charade. He had resisted for a full day. He gave her space, because he knew he had shattered her world. He wanted her to come to him. But the sight of her, pale and trembling by the fire, her scent thick with fever, he couldn't stay away any longer. The bond was a physical rope, pulling him in her direction. He found her in the library. Sunlight streamed through the high windows, illuminating the dust motes dancing around her. She was tracing the spine of a book, but her focus was 1,000 miles away. He could feel her turmoil, a chaotic symphony of fear, anger, and a deep, shimmering pool of confusion. He stepped inside. The soft click of the door latch echoed. Her head snapped up, her eyes wide. Fear. And something else. Something that looked dangerously like longing. The space between them burned. He could feel the feverish heat rolling off her skin. He could smell the starlight scent of her, laced with the metallic tang of sickness. "What do you want, Ronan?" Her voice trembled, a fragile thread. He took a step closer. And then another. His only goal was to get closer, to see if the fire in his blood would cool, or if it would finally erupt into an inferno. "You know what I want, Isla." His voice was a low growl. Between them something cracked. The air grew heavy, charged with a decade of unspoken words. He stopped just feet away, close enough to see the frantic pulse in her throat. His instincts surged. He wanted to reach out, to touch the mark he'd left on her skin, to feel her soul answer his. He knew he shouldn't. But what if he did?
Chapter 9. The summit meeting was a blur of polite aggression. Alphas postured. Betas watched with narrowed eyes. The air was charged with the threat of broken treaties. Isla played her part perfectly, her voice calm and strategic. But then, Ronan spoke. Your strategy assumes the border is a line to be defended. His golden eyes locked on hers. His voice was a low rumble, vibrating right through her. A true alpha pair doesn't defend a line. They project power. Their combined presence becomes the border. Anything that crosses it is eliminated. Silence. Deafening. He hadn't just disagreed with her. He had publicly dismissed her entire political reality. He had highlighted the weakness of her union with Marcus and, in the same breath, painted a vivid picture of the power they could have. Together. Humiliation, hot and sharp, washed over her. What followed was a confrontation she couldn't avoid. She found him later, near the edge of the woods. How dare you? She seethed, her hands clenched into fists. You have no right to humiliate me. Your counsel? He countered, stepping into her space. Your pack? Your husband? All of it, Isla. It's a cage you built to hide from what you really are. And what am I? She cried, her voice cracking. You are mine, he roared, the sound ripping from him, a force of nature. And just like that, the tension broke. In the span of a breath, he was there, his mouth crashing down on hers. It wasn't a gentle kiss. It was a decade of hunger, of rage, of desperate, soul-deep longing. Her mind screamed no, but her body betrayed her. As fire bloomed beneath her skin, she leaned into him, her hands tangling in his tunic. This was not a choice. It was a surrender. As if fate demanded it, he pulled back just enough to look into her eyes, his own blazing with a wild, possessive fire. Before she could move, before she could think, he lowered his head to her neck. Her wolf pressed forward, a joyous, eager surge within her, and she let it happen. The sharp sting of his teeth, a shock. Then, a tidal wave of pure energy slammed through her. Her knees buckled. Pain, pleasure, homecoming. The war wasn't coming anymore. It was here, carved into her very soul. Chapter 10. Her neck. It burned. Not the dull ache of the sickness. This was fire, sharp, stinging. Her fingers trembled against the wound, coming away slick with blood. His blood, her blood, theirs. The world roared in her ears, a chaotic symphony of panic, guilt, and a terrifying, undeniable rightness. He marked us, her wolf sang with a possessive glee. He doomed us, her mind screamed back. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't outrun the truth. She stumbled through the darkening woods, the trees themselves seeming to whisper his name. Ronan. Her goal was simple, desperate. Get back to the great house, hide the mark, buy time. But time for what? To lie? To pretend the last 10 years hadn't just been obliterated by a single desperate bite? As she crept through a side entrance, a figure stepped from the shadows. Marcus. Her heart skipped. He just stood there, arms crossed, his face, a mask of stone. This wasn't the calm alpha she knew. This was someone else, harder, colder. You enjoy the fresh air, my love? He asked, his voice deceptively soft. I needed a moment, she stammered, her fingers fumbling to pull the high collar of her tunic up. The gesture was so obvious, so guilty. A moment, he repeated, taking a slow step toward her. Under the weight of his stare, her composure began to crack. You ran into the woods after him, after the Blood Moon Alpha. Did you think I wouldn't see? Marcus, it's not what you think, isn't it? He was in front of her now, his scent of pine and earth feeling foreign, suffocating. For years, Isla, I have respected the walls you build. I told myself it was strength, poise. But a wall isn't for strength, is it? It's for hiding something. Before she could move, his hand shot out. Not with anger, but with a chilling precision. He hooked his fingers in her collars and pulled it aside. His eyes widened, then narrowed into slits of pure, incandescent fury. He was staring at the fresh, crimson star on her neck, the mark of another alpha. The truth was out, raw and bleeding between them.
Chapter 11. Rage. A red mist. It clouded his vision. The sight of that mark, that claim, on his Luna's skin. It was an act of war. It was a declaration of his failure, a public testament to the chasm between them. Liam's warning, the story of the Crestfall Pack. It all crashed down on him. This wasn't just personal betrayal. It was a threat to the survival of his entire pack. He had to erase it. He had to reclaim what was his. Because of that, he grabbed her arm, his grip, like iron. To our chambers now. He didn't wait for her reply, pulling her through the halls, her struggles weak against the fury fueling him. He slammed the chamber door behind them. The sound echoed the shattering of his world. "You are my wife," he snarled, backing her against the wall. "You are the Luna of this pack. You wear my title. You sleep in my bed. You will not carry the mark of another." Her eyes were wide with fear, but he didn't care. His world was upended, his honor shredded. There was only one way to fix this. He would mark her himself. He would cover that vile bite. He would reestablish his dominance. He would show the world who she belonged to. It was his right. It was the law. He lunged forward, his canines extending, his senses overwhelmed by the scent of her fear and Ronan. He lowered his head, his teeth grazing her skin right beside the other mark. Then, nothing. Without warning, a force, invisible, absolute, it slammed into him like a wall of solid energy. A searing pain, not hers but his, lanced through his skull. The magic of the world itself, the will of the moon goddess, was rejecting him. It was telling him in no uncertain terms, "She is not yours." He was thrown backward, stumbling. As the silence roared, he stared at her. The anger was gone, replaced by a cold, hollow dread. It wasn't just a mark. It was a fated bond. A truth he could never fight. He hadn't just lost his wife. He had lost a war. A war against destiny itself. And it was already over. Chapter 12. Pacing. Like a caged wolf. Then, it hit him. Pain. Searing and sharp. But it wasn't his. It was Isla's. With every heartbeat, he felt her terror, her despair, and underneath it all, the spike of another male's rage. Marcus. He knew, with a certainty that turned his blood to ice, what was happening, what that bastard was trying to do. A guttural growl rose from his chest. His wolf surged, demanding release, demanding blood, demanding vengeance. He was across the room in a flash, his hand on the door ready to tear it from its hinges. "Alpha, stop!" Cade, his beta, stood in his path, a wall of solid muscle and unwavering loyalty. "Think, this is a trap. He wants you to act on rage. He wants you to look like the savage he tells everyone you are." "He is touching her!" Ronan roared, his voice shaking with a fury so potent the room seemed to tremble. "And you will handle it," Cade said, his voice firm. "But as an alpha, not as a beast. Go to him now, but go with a clear head. Let him be the one to break." Cade was right. In fact, Ronan drew in a ragged breath. He forced the inferno down. Down to a smoldering coal. His face set into a mask of cold, lethal calm. He strode from the room. Every step, a promise. He found Marcus in the great hall. The other alpha stood staring into the fire, his posture reeking of defeat and a new, chilling resolve. As if he sensed him, Marcus turned. His eyes were hollow, but the despair within them had curdled into something hard. Ugly. Without another word, Ronan simply stood there. The silence stretched, a silent accusation. Finally, Marcus spoke. His voice was flat, devoid of all emotion. "You have defiled my Luna. You have disgraced my pack. By the ancient laws, there is only one path left for us. Ronan's chin lifted. He knew what was coming. As if fate demanded it, Marcus's voice rang out, cold and formal. I, Alpha Marcus of the Silver Creek Pack, challenge you to the rite of blood. To the death. Ronan didn't hesitate. He didn't blink. His voice was quiet, deadly. I accept.
Chapter 13. Silence, louder than any shout. It was a heavy, suffocating thing, thick with the promise of blood. Isla's thoughts spun, a dizzying vortex of fear and a strange, terrible clarity. The duel was real. It was happening. And as a result, she had to do something. Her old life of quiet diplomacy was over. This new reality demanded action. She found Ronan near the training grounds. As if he felt her, he turned. The moment their eyes locked, the world seemed to quiet, narrowing to just the space between them. She walked toward him, ignoring the hostile glare from his beta. Ronan, we need to talk. He nodded once to Cade, dismissing him. When they were alone, the air crackled. Isla. Just her name. A statement. A claim. You can't do this, she began, her voice stronger than she felt. You can't fight him. Not for this. Not for me. His expression was unyielding, carved from stone. This stopped being just about you the moment he put his hands on you, the moment he tried to profane our bond. This is madness, she insisted, stepping closer. It's pride. It's two alphas beating their chests while their pack members die. I will not be a prize won in a blood sport. More importantly, he reached out, his fingers gently touching the fresh mark on her neck. As fire bloomed beneath her skin, he looked into her eyes. Do you feel that? He murmured. That is the only law that matters. The truth of our world. The one thing my father and his politics could never crush. This isn't about pride, Isla. This is about which world we are going to live in. One governed by political lies, or one governed by the truth of the soul. He represents one, I represent the other. One of them has to fall. His words struck a chord deep inside her, a truth her own wolf recognized. Still, the thought of the bloodshed, of either man dying, and it was a horror she couldn't accept. He saw the conflict in her eyes. I made you a promise, 10 years ago, he whispered, his voice a low, intimate rumble. I told you I would come back for you, Isla, and I am keeping that promise. Her first attempt to stop the war had failed, leaving her trapped in the echo of a promise she was terrified he would die to keep.
Chapter 14. The whetstone whispered against steel, a hungry sound. Shh, shh, shh. With every stroke, he forced the rage from his mind, leaving only cold, hard resolve. He had lost the magical battle. The fates themselves had rejected him, had slammed a door in his face. The unforgivable truth that she would never be his was a cancer in his soul. So, what was left? Honor. The law. The rigid structure of their world. It was all he had. Deep down he knew. The duel was likely a death sentence. Ronan was not a boy from a story. He was a warrior forged in hellfire. But to withdraw now, that was a different kind of death. The death of his pack's pride. An invitation for every rival to see them as prey. That's why he had to see this through. Isla found him in his study, her face pale, her eyes pleading. Marcus, please, she said softly. Don't do this. Think of the pack. Think of the lives that will be lost, over a mark on my skin. Her voice, once the calm center of his world, was now nails on slate. You should have thought of the pack. His voice was ice. Before you let him touch you. He did not look up from his blade. It wasn't like that. I don't care what it was like, he snapped, finally meeting her gaze. His eyes were hollow. The law is absolute. A challenge has been made. A challenge has been accepted. To withdraw now is to declare our pact broken, to declare me a coward. Is that what you want, Isla? To be the Luna of a broken, cowardly pack? Just like that, the final thread of their partnership frayed and snapped. She saw it then. The man she had known was gone, replaced by this creature of pure, wounded pride. Before she could speak again, Liam entered. His face was grim. "Alpha, the warriors are restless. They demand blood. Some are calling the Luna a traitor." Marcus gave a short, bitter laugh, returning his attention to the blade. The price of honor was steeper than he had ever imagined, and the whole pack was about to pay it.
Chapter 15. She walked through the halls, but it was no longer her home. It was a fortress preparing for a siege that she had caused. With every heartbeat, she felt the stares of her people. The Silver Creek pack. They weren't looks of pity anymore. They were looks of accusation, of betrayal. The whispers followed her, like shadows. Faithless Luna. Blood Moon's whore. The scent of sharpening steel and anxious sweat filled the air. Warriors who had once smiled at her now looked right through her, their faces grim, their hands checking the bindings on their blades. These were people she knew, people she had helped, people who were now going to die because of her. To make things worse, she stepped outside and saw the other side of the war. Across the compound, Ronan's Beta, Cade, drilled the Blood Moon warriors. They moved with a savage, synchronized grace that made her blood run cold. They were a weapon, and Ronan was pointing them at her home. As if sensing her, Cade turned. His eyes met hers with a look of pure, unadulterated contempt. In his eyes, she was not a prize. She was a weakness, a political mess that could only be cleansed with blood. In that moment, her world tilted into a terrifying new alignment. She was utterly alone, an outcast, an enemy to both sides, a ghost, haunting the battlefield of her own making. Her attempts at diplomacy, at reason, at appealing to the men they were, they had all failed. She had tried to bargain with a storm, and now the forest was burning down around her. There was no escape. No matter who won, she would lose. She retreated to the cold silence of her chamber. The sounds of war preparations were a deafening drumbeat from two worlds destined to collide. The duel was set for dawn. Her time was up. Chapter 16. The door was closed, but it offered no sanctuary. The sounds from the courtyard, a constant, torturous reminder, the clang of steel, a sharp command, the promise of the dawn, a duel, a death, all because of her. Her thoughts spun. She replayed her conversation with Ronan, his voice a low rumble, promising to uphold a decade-old vow. He spoke of destiny, of a truth that was truer than law. He was a storm she had foolishly believed she could reason with, and his refusal to back down wasn't just pride, it was a crusade. Then, her mind turned to Marcus. The memory of his face, hollowed out by the unforgivable truth, made her chest ache. She had gone to him hoping to find her partner, the man of logic. Instead, she found an alpha clinging to the wreckage of his honor, a fortress of wounded pride, unbreachable. She had tried to speak to the storm, and it raged. She had tried to reason with the stone, and it did not move. Both had refused her, which meant her entire identity, diplomat, negotiator, capable Luna. It was all a lie, a useless fiction. Her skills, the very thing she had built her new life upon, had crumbled to dust against the primal forces of an alpha's honor and a mate's bond. What's worse, she was trapped between them. Two unmovable forces, two worlds set to collide, and she was the epicenter. She had spent a decade meticulously building a life safe from the chaos of passion, only to find herself the sole cause of a war fueled by it. In the quiet that followed, a profound emptiness. She wasn't a queen caught between two kings. She was a ghost, haunting a story that was no longer her own, waiting for a dawn that promised only death.
Chapter 17. From the shadows, he watched her. Isla. She moved through the courtyard like a phantom, steps hesitant, shoulders slumped under an invisible weight. The bond connecting them was a raw, open nerve. He felt her isolation like a shard of ice in his own heart. His wolf snarled, a low, frustrated growl, demanding he go to her, demanding he wrap himself around her, demanding he tear apart anyone who looked at her with anything less than reverence. But he couldn't. He knew his presence now would only be salt in her wounds. So, he watched. And his fury grew. He saw a Silver Creek warrior deliberately turn his back as she approached. He saw a group of women from his own pack, the Blood Moon, stop their conversation, their whispers following Isla like poison darts. They saw her as a foreign contamination, the cause of their Alpha's distraction, as if summoned by his rage, his Beta Cade appeared at his side. Alpha, he murmured, his eyes also on Isla. Your mate is an issue. The pack is unsettled. They don't understand why you would risk war for the Luna of another pack. She is the reason for this pack. Ronan's voice was a low growl, each word laced with a dangerous calm. She is the reason I fought for 10 years to build what we have. She is the heart of this kingdom, whether she knows it or not. See that you remember that. Cade bowed his head, chastised but not convinced. Yes, Alpha. Ronan's gaze returned to Isla. She had stopped in the middle of the courtyard, caught in the crossfire of hostile stares. She looked so utterly alone. A queen. Of a kingdom that refused to claim her. As he watched, she seemed to shrink, her shoulders hunching as she finally retreated back into the great house. He felt her despair crash through the bond, a wave of hopelessness. She was breaking. He knew it. And the dawn was still hours away.
Chapter 18. The Woman in the Mirror. A Stranger. Her eyes wide and haunted, her face pale and drawn, and on her neck, a crimson star, the brand of a war she had started. Isla reached up, her fingers tracing the jagged edges of Ronan's mark. This was the source of it all, this one small wound. And then, the truth, brutal, undeniable, it fell upon her. She had spent 10 years running from the powerless girl in the forest. Every decision, every sacrifice, all of it, dedicated to building a world of perfect, unshakable control. She had built a wall to keep out the storm, only to find she'd trapped it inside. She had sought safety in logic, only to be undone by a primal bond. She had chosen duty over destiny, only to find it led to her own destruction. Her greatest fear, the ultimate loss of control, the chaos of passion, had been realized. And it was realized not in spite of her efforts, but because of them. The life she had so carefully constructed was a prison, and its collapse had brought two packs to the brink of annihilation. She was the spark. And now the whole world was burning. This was it, her lowest point, the dark night of her soul. There was nothing she could do, no one to appeal to. She was a prize. And at dawn, two men would fight to the death to claim her broken pieces. A single tear traced a hot path down her cold cheek. She closed her eyes, surrendering to the despair. For the first time, she didn't fight the bond. She let it flood her. She felt Ronan's presence, not as a storm, but as a steady, unwavering anchor in the chaos. She felt his fierce, desperate love for her, a love that had survived a decade of silence. As if pulled by a string, her wolf stirred within her. Not a joyous howl. This was a low, defiant growl, a whisper of a different kind of strength, not of control, not of logic, but of truth, of authenticity. Her eyes snapped open. The despair was still there, a heavy cloak, but beneath it, a tiny, dangerous spark, a new idea. An idea that had nothing to do with being a prize. An idea that had nothing to do with being won. Chapter 19, The First Pale Fingers of Dawn. The day had come. The day of the duel. A profound stillness settled over her, a calm that felt utterly alien after the storm of despair. In the quiet that followed her darkest moment, a single impossible thought had taken root, an idea born not of fear, but of fire. For 10 years, she had played a part written by others. The shamed outcast, the dutiful wife, the contested prize. She had let their definitions cage her, because she believed it was the only way to be safe. Deep down, she knew the truth now. There is no safety in a cage. She rose from her chair. Her movements were no longer hesitant. Instead, they were deliberate, filled with a purpose she hadn't felt since she was a reckless girl dancing in a moonlit clearing. The difference was, that girl was ruled by fate. This woman would rule herself. Her plan was terrifying, insane. It would defy every law, every tradition. It might get her killed. Still, she had to do this. Because staying silent, letting them fight to the death over her, would be the final betrayal. Not to them, to herself. It would be an admission that she was nothing more than an object to be won. As if pulled by a string, she walked to her wardrobe. Not the muted gray of Silver Creek, not the black of Blood Moon. Rather, she pulled out a simple, deep forest green tunic, the color of the wild, the color of a world that answered to no alpha, but the moon itself. She dressed, her hands steady. She was not a prize. She was not a victim. She was not the spoils of war. She was a queen who had been living in a kingdom of fear, and today she was abdicating that throne. As she walked toward the chamber door, she wasn't walking to her doom. No, she was walking to her destiny, a destiny she would finally write for herself.
Chapter 20. The air was sharp, cold, smelling of damp earth and steel. On one side, the Silver Creek pack, their faces a mixture of fear and grim resolve. On the other, his Blood Moon warriors, silent, ready. A weapon he had forged in fire, and today he would wield it. Yet, a strange unease coiled in his gut, not fear of the fight. Marcus was a capable alpha, but Ronan had faced far worse. No, this was something else. He could feel Isla through the bond, but the despair from last night, it was gone. In its place was something else, a quiet resolve, a stillness that felt more dangerous than any storm. What was she planning? "Be ready for anything, Cade," he murmured, his eyes fixed on the empty space in the center of the circle. "The Silver Creek Alpha is proud. He will not make this easy." "It is his pride that will be his undoing," Cade grunted, his hand resting on the hilt of his own blade. "And the Luna? What of her?" Ronan's jaw tightened. "She is another matter entirely." Which meant he couldn't predict her, and that, more than anything, worried him. As if summoned by his thoughts, Marcus stepped into the circle. He held a ceremonial blade, its edge gleaming in the new morning light. His face, a mask of cold honor. The two alphas faced each other, the weight of a decade of loss and a future of war hanging between them. The moment was here, the final bloody answer. With every heartbeat, the silence stretched, becoming a living thing. The crowd held its breath. The forest held its breath. Ronan prepared himself, his muscles coiling, his wolf rising to meet the challenge. He was ready to fight for his life, for his pack, for his mate. But as he looked across the field, he had the terrifying feeling that he had prepared for the wrong battle entirely.
Chapter 21. From the Edge of the Woods. She watched them, the two most powerful men in her life, poised to destroy each other, warriors on either side, ready to spill their blood, for their alphas, for her. She refused to let it happen, as if fate demanded it. She took the first step out from the cover of the trees. The crowd stirred. A low murmur rippled through the tense silence. Every eye turned to her. She felt their stares, the betrayal from Silver Creek, the contempt from Blood Moon, the shock from the two alphas in the circle. She ignored them all. With every step, her terror receded, replaced by a crystalline calm. This was right. This was the only way. She wasn't walking toward two alphas. She was walking toward her own two choices, a life of duty in a gilded cage or a life of passion bound to a storm. And in that moment, she chose neither. She chose herself. Her body moved on instinct, her chin held high, her path unerring. She did not run. She did not plead. She walked with the quiet authority of a queen, her simple green tunic a stark contrast to the grim colors of war. She entered the dueling circle, the damp earth cool beneath her feet, and stopped, directly between them. The world seemed to grind to a halt. Marcus's face was a mask of disbelief. Ronan's golden eyes widened, a flicker of stunned confusion crossing his features for the first time. The tension broke, not with a clash of steel, but with the sheer, unadulterated audacity of her presence. She looked at Marcus, her husband, the man whose honor she was about to shatter. Then, she turned to Ronan, her mate, the man whose claim she was about to defy. She took a deep breath. This was it, the point of no return. Before either could speak, her voice rang out, not loud, but clear and sharp as breaking ice. Stop! Chapter 22. In the echo of her voice, and the world held its breath. Stop. The word was sharp, clear. It hung in the cold morning air. Ronan and Marcus, frozen, their predatory focus shifting to her. But then, as if fate demanded it, a new sound split the silence. A guttural warhorn, alien and cruel, echoed from the trees. Without warning, the forest erupted, shadows detaching from the tree line, moving with a starved, frantic speed. Rogues, dozens of them, their eyes burning with a mindless fury. At their head was a wolf she had seen in her nightmares, a scarred, hulking beast of an alpha, Gideon. In the span of a breath, the dueling circle became a battlefield. The stunned silence shattered, a symphony of snarls, the clash of steel, and the screams of the dying. Her world tilted. Before she could move, she saw Ronan and Marcus, no longer rivals, but two alphas standing back to back, fighting for the lives of their people. The fighting was a blur, teeth and claws, brutal chaos. Her heart pounded, a frantic drum against her ribs. She saw Gideon break through the line, his eyes, wild and manic, locked on Ronan. He was going for the kill. The rogue alpha lunged. Her body moved on instinct. She didn't scream. She didn't run. Instead, she opened her mouth and let out a sound she had never made before. Not a word. A wave of pure, untamed power. Her Luna's command. A note of absolute authority that struck Gideon like a physical blow, causing him to falter for one crucial second. 1 second was all Ronan needed. With a roar, he met Gideon's charge, a blur of fury and righteous power. At the same time, she saw him pivot, his blade flashing out to intercept a rogue that was about to gut Marcus from behind. Moments later, the last rogue fell. The clearing fell silent once more, filled with the groans of the wounded and the sight of two packs standing together amidst the carnage.
Chapter 23. He leaned on his sword, muscles screaming, breath coming in ragged gasps. The air was thick, so thick with the coppery smell of blood. His blood, Blood Moon blood, rogue blood. He looked across the field of carnage and saw Ronan walk toward Isla. He saw the look in their eyes, the undeniable truth of the bond. Deep down, he knew. His honor wasn't lost in a duel that never happened. It was forged anew in a battle for survival. This man, this ghost he was prepared to hate, had just saved his life. So, with a deep breath that pained his bruised ribs, he straightened up, his duty as Alpha overriding all else. He walked toward them, his steps heavy, but sure. Hold, he called out, his voice ringing with an authority that made both packs turn to him. Warriors from Silver Creek and Blood Moon alike looked on. He stopped before Ronan and Isla, two halves of a whole, standing in the center of the chaos. He looked first at Ronan. "The right of blood is satisfied. We have shed blood together against a common enemy. The Blood Moon Alpha fought with honor. He protected my pack as if it were his own." Then he turned his gaze to Isla. Her face was smudged with dirt, but her eyes were clear, strong. The stranger was gone, replaced by the woman he had always respected, now infused with a power he had never known. "The goddess has made her will known," he said, his voice softer now, laced with a profound, painful acceptance. "I, Alpha Marcus of the Silver Creek Pack, formally dissolve my union with Luna Isla, and I recognize the true bond she shares." He gave a final, respectful nod to them both. He had lost his Luna. Yes. But in the wreckage, he had saved his pack. He had forged an alliance in blood. And for an Alpha, that was its own kind of victory.
Chapter 24. In the days that followed, a fragile peace settled over the valley. The scent of blood was replaced by the smell of healing salves and wood smoke. Isla moved between the two packs, no longer a contested prize, but a bridge. Using the sharp, logical mind she had honed for years, she organized the recovery, distributed resources, and ensured every warrior, Silver Creek or Blood Moon, was tended to. Cade, Ronan's formidable beta, watched her with a new, grudging respect. She was not the weakness he had feared. She was the architect of their new peace. Eventually, the two packs began to mend, not just their wounds, but the rift between them. They trained together, shared meals together, stood watch together. A new kingdom was being forged from the ashes of the old. One evening, Ronan found her on the same stone balcony where their new chapter had begun. She was watching the sunset, painting the sky in hues of purple and gold. He came to stand beside her, the silence between them comfortable, a precious gift after so many years of turmoil. "Is it strange?" she asked softly, her gaze on the valley below where their two packs moved as one. Ronan wrapped an arm around her, pulling her close. His scent, pine and storm and home, filled her senses. "It feels right," he murmured into her hair. "It feels like the world finally corrected itself." She leaned her head against his chest, the steady beat of his heart a soothing rhythm. The chill she had carried in her bones for a decade was finally completely gone, replaced by a deep, abiding warmth. 10 years is a long time to wait for the world to feel right. "It was worth every second," he said, his voice thick with emotion. He tilted her chin up, his golden eyes searching hers. "Every single second was worth it, to be standing here, with you, at our first dawn." The space between them burned, not with tension or anger, but with the quiet, intense fire of a love that had survived war and time and destiny itself. And as his lips met hers, it wasn't a desperate collision, not a frantic claim. It was a promise, a new dawn, a beginning.
Epilogue. In the quiet that followed the war, a new world was born. Isla stood on the great balcony, the very one where her world had been torn apart and then pieced back together, and watched the valley below. It was no longer a territory of two separate packs, but a thriving, unified kingdom. Children from Blood Moon and Silver Creek chased each other through the fields, their laughter carrying on the warm evening breeze. As if pulled by a string, a small girl with her father's golden eyes and her mother's determined chin toddled toward the edge of the lawn, her tiny hand outstretched to catch a firefly. Cora, their daughter, a symbol of the peace they had fought for. A familiar warmth enveloped Isla from behind, and the scent of rain and air, her anchor, filled her senses. Ronan's arms wrapped around her waist, his chin resting on her shoulder. "What are you thinking about?" he murmured, his voice a low, contented rumble against her ear. "I was just thinking," she began, leaning back into his solid presence, "about how loud the silence used to be." He knew exactly what she meant. The silence of loneliness, the silence of fear, the silence of an unspoken war. Now the silence was different. It was filled with the hum of a happy pack, the chirping of crickets, and the steady, comforting beat of his heart against her back. From his vantage point, Ronan watched his daughter stumble and fall onto the soft grass, only to push herself back up with a stubborn little grunt. He smiled. She had her mother's resilience. Cade, his ever-present beta, stood guard near the edge of the lawn, his watchful eyes soft as he looked at the child. He, like the rest of the pack, had come to adore their fierce little Luna to be. Truth be told, Ronan's life was more than he had ever dared to dream of during those 10 long years of exile. He had not only reclaimed his mate, he had found a home. He had built a future. The day before, a messenger had arrived for Marcus. His old rival was now a respected alpha of a flourishing pack to the south, his letters brief, professional, and tinged with a genuine respect. Even that wound had healed. He tightened his arms around Isla, burying his face in her hair. The bond between them was a steady, warm river, a constant source of strength and love. There were no more fevers, no more phantom aches. Only this. This perfect, hard-won peace. Her hand came up to rest on his, her fingers lacing with his. The faint, silvery scar on her neck was no longer a mark of abandonment or war. It was a symbol of their story, a promise kept. "I love you," she whispered into the twilight. "I love you," he answered, his voice thick with an emotion that would never fade. And as the first stars of evening began to appear in the darkening sky, they stood together, two halves of a single soul, watching their daughter chase the light. Their long night was finally over, and their first quiet dawn had stretched into a lifetime.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.